Crash Course Live is presented by
Smash It Demolition Derby, who hosts Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage. Online at smashitderby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, host of May Mania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah, online at stirringdirtracing.com.
Reckless Abandoned Derby Apparel, and Derby Inc. Magazine. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast. Excited to have all of you folks along for the ride with us tonight. Number 277 on deck. We've got three guests lined up for us this evening. We're going to be focusing on compacts for the first two-thirds of the show, and then we're going to shift gears a little bit and get into some truck action that's also tied to the Mini Meltdown. Dan Bolton has his truck done.
Is it for sale yet?
No, maybe. He showed me the grids. I have no idea what I was looking at, but apparently it's really good power. Sure, I'm willing to believe anything. We had a good talk. I learned something today about some of the MSD boxes and stuff, so that was cool. We're going to kick things off with Chris Stiepro, who picked up a landmark win at Bash for Cash, and the money, is, as he said, was just about entirely spent already. And then Jeremy Gulley's going to join us for a quick few minutes just to hit on Mini Meltdown, which is coming up this Saturday. Brian, you're going to be driving in that along with pretty much everybody else in the Northeast.
Allegedly.
Going to be making the trip out that direction, and that's where we're going to see Dan Bolton as well. They're going to be gearing up for their the Mini Meltdown draws are tonight, scheduled for 7 o'clock, so that'll be cool. I thought for a minute I didn't open the microphones. Great. That would have been good, right? Good start to things.
Stranger things have happened.
It's been there before. But, yeah, so we've got Chris Stiepro waiting in the wings. I saw Chad Dyer celebrating a birthday today. Mm-hmm. And also All Points Bulletin, if anybody has a front bumper cover for a 90-02 Lincoln Town car, preferably Silver Frost. I'm looking for a bumper cover. If anybody's got that laying around, the rest of the stuff's already.
So we're going to go into why we didn't really have a show last week? Or
We had a show last week. It was two weeks ago.
Oh, 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago. My bad. What was that? Oh, I know where I was last week. I was at an awards assembly. This spring has been crazy busy.
I saw your name came up on my phone. I'm like, oh, I got ordered again. It's like, nope, he's going to do something he wants to do. Not so bad.
Yeah, it wasn't so bad. It's always good when the kids get school awards. So we went to an awards assembly.
For sure.
So it was pretty good. And it's just hard to believe, man.
That tells me that you actually didn't watch the open of the show last week, because I opened with pictures of the van.
No, and, I didn't.
Yeah.
I've been... With you know, both boys lifting now, we're getting home a little later than we were. So,
right.
By the time we get home and get showered, there's not much time before bed. So, it's a busy life we're running through right now,
for sure. But so Chris Stiepro joining us here, a couple weeks removed from his win at Bash for Cash. Let everything try and settle in and come into perspective a little bit for you here. And you said it has set in a little bit, and so has the honey-do list.
Yeah, man. There was a lot of stuff that got let go to finish this car up. I live here in town, and we live on just not much but an acre, but I was mowing the front yard for everybody to see, man, keeping it all nice. But the backyard, I mean, I could about build hay whenever I got home from Bash. It was bad. So, you know, awesome. The neighbors thought it looked okay, so we'll slide.
do you have a walk behind?
No, I just got a regular riding lawnmower here around. You know, I live on my land's got a bunch of hills on it, and it takes about 2 hours to mow just because I got to push mow so much of it. But you know, whenever crunch time rolls around, you know, you're already not getting much sleep. It's not that big of a deal, you know. You can't see the dog whenever she goes out to do her thing, but it'll be okay.
You know, it is hilarious for him to say that, because every year during Derby season, I know for myself, about the time we're getting ready to plow for Waterloo, sorry, Josh Peel, I'm like, man, that lawn really needs to be mowed. And as the boys, you know, for a while, Zach was in the age where he loved mowing lawn, and then he jumped over that age to where he loved working on Derby cars with Dad. So, but yeah, I it's funny he said that because I absolutely know the last few years, you know, sometimes it's been good to where you can mow it all once and the sun will fry it and then you don't have to mow it for quite a while afterwards.
If you get it low enough where you're cutting dirt, it'll take care of itself for a couple absolutely. Weeks.
It's good after that point, but man, I know exactly what he's talking about. I've never built for, you know, a show that size, but I think us Derby drivers have definitely put off mowing lawn a time or two to work on a Derby car.
it's unreal what we do the last, you know, couple weeks. I posted on Facebook one day that, you know, running off ibuprofen and caffeine and cuts and bruises. And, you know, I was going to work, and I actually started a different job on the assembly line in there. So I was working with a bunch of new people that never knew, that, you know, they didn't know nothing about me. And I come showing up to work, and, you know, I'd be burnt from the elbows down from not welding sleeves or not using welding sleeves. And I'd have spots all over me from the burns, you know. And I finally had to tell that one dude, I was like, man, I don't do meth. These are from welding, you know. Because, you know, they don't know me. Like, you know, when I was on the other line, they all knew that I don't have any sense and that, you know, what kind of a silly hobby we do. So I had to kind of break them all in real quick, that, you know, on what we do and the rundown. And, they all, you know, they all don't think we have any sense either now that they know. But, man, that last week, you get a lot of stuff that just, it's not that important.
Does your lawnmower run with, like, a 6-cylinder or 8-cylinder motor on it? Is it something that you cobbled together?
No, man. I went out there. Whenever it was time to cut, I cut it once, and I was sending Snapchats out because, like, you couldn't even see the deck. And then I'd have to get out and get a stick out, and I'd have to clean out the deck from all the grass because, yeah, that's I awesome. Could mow it twice, but what man really wants to do that? You know, that's just right. It'll chew through it a little by little. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely. That's hilarious. It's funny, man. Derby is derby. Everybody, I guess most all derby drivers put away.
Life put outside, off one lawn.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Well, it's funny.
I wonder if any of us are still married, really.
Yeah, no kidding. But then the thing is, though, is like, you know, a lot of us, I mean, we go work at me, I still work at my, not that I, you know, put anywhere near the time, and Chris does, you know, building stuff for Bash, but, you know, my shop's at my dad's, so I can go over there and I'm out of my wife's hair, so I think that helps things.
Long grass at in Derby season, it might be the only thing you have in common with Chris Deepro.
Yeah, probably. Absolutely. Absolutely. But, yeah, so that's cool.
On the plus side, Brian, if you think about it, Chris Deepro, as good as he is, he's only got one more win at Bash for Cash than you do.
That's it. It's not like the Bronze, who, you know, they got like 47 up, you know, amongst them, but he's only got one more win than me than there. But
I mean, tell us a little bit about that win and what that meant. After last year's run, when at one point it was like 6 or 7 on 1, and then you turn around and numbers they're falling a little bit more in your favor, but not necessarily as even as you might want it to be. How rewarding is this win at Bash for Cash?
Man, it took a little bit to set in. You know, of course, when I got back to the pit area, you know, I got out hooping and hollering, and, you know, that was cool. But it's been, you know, like, then we went immediately into trying to get everything put up and put together, you know, and we did a little partying. But, it's been talked about here and there. We went to a couple birthday parties, and I had to, all my buddies, you know, being like we all are, we all pick on each other, you know, they all being wanting autographs and this, that, and another, and just, you know, a bunch of smart asses, really. So that's been different, you know, because anytime I get around them, I got to hear about it, and it's like, yeah, all right, yeah, all right. But I don't know. It's big, and I wanted it. I probably wanted that win more than anything I've ever wanted in the Derby world. And, man, after last year getting so close, and then we've almost won the last 2 hits, and, you know, David Tillery, that was his second win, and hats off to him. You know, that's pretty big to win it twice. But he was pretty hot, and I wasn't hot at all. And it got down, even though I was getting the brakes beat off of me, when it was down to 4, I actually felt pretty good that I was still going to win last year.
Right.
I had all four wheels on, all four, you know, moving, had water, wasn't hot. You know, I really felt confident, and then just the transmission, it gave me one warning, and that last warning it gave me, I was able to shut it off, put it in gear, and hold it. I was having to hold the shifter in gear and hit the starter to back up enough to get out. And that's when I went to the other end, and I came back and squared up with Jordan Rutherford.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I didn't care which one I squared up with. One of them, it didn't matter, you know what I mean? And I turned the corner and came around, and Jordan poked his nose out, and I thought, well, you're the one today, you know? But that was a big letdown to lose reverse right then and there. And that is really how fast it happened. It was just sure. Boom and gone. So
we were I was watching the pay-per-view at home, and it was funny because as this was going on, and I told Chris this, you'd say something on air, and I would have said it like 30 seconds before here, like talking with Dan and everybody. And, you know, it was getting down towards the end, and you were talking about, you know, last year before show and yada, yada, yada. And I'm basically telling Dan, like, the same, you know, the same thing of, you know, one of the last shots he made last year was the last shot. It was a hard nose-to-nose shot. And, you know, I just kept watching and watching. I'm like, I thought for a while, you know, towards the end that Chris was going to come out with it because just things were looking good for him. And, you know,
Was there a point, Chris, that you knew it was yours?
This year?
Yeah.
Man, like I said, you know, we all went out there and I didn't know how it was going to play out. The Iowa guys come in, you know, with the front wheel drives.
Yes.
And they were serious competition, absolutely serious. And we really, we were last second get the cars through inspection, last second getting in line, da da da. We didn't really walk around and look at the heats at all. So, you know, my two ride or die guys, Tony and TJ, they were in the first heat. Well, we didn't realize they was in the first heat with all the Cadillac compacts, plus they had two Pacers from that area to boot. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And, man, Tony and PJ, they got roughed up pretty bad in the heat. And they got roughed up, and then I went out in the second heat and just had an absolute bonehead move. I forgot to tighten down the battery cables. I'm still like that replays in my mind more than the win.
Sure.
It is like, that's just, you know, that's first grade stuff, man. That's your basics. That's your basic mechanics. That should have never ever happened, but it did. So, you know, we all went back, and Friday night, you know, you could ask anybody to come around our pit area. Friday night was a real, real down and out. There wasn't a whole lot of talking going on. It was everybody just had their heads hung pretty low. You know, we was all, you know, pretty upset with the outcome. But it kind of woke us up. We woke up Saturday morning, and of course, my weekend started off great. I live here in the Ohio Valley, man, and I got allergies that are just like anybody else. But I woke up, couldn't talk. I let the guys talk me into camping this year. 4 years going, I've always went to a hotel after the show. And all right, we'll camp this. You know, this is supposed to be our last time up here. Let's camp. I woke up, y'all. I mean, I was just like dog sick. I lost my voice. Couldn't hardly talk. Just miserable. And so, you know, the morale went down even further for me because I thought, man, I'm ready to go home. You know, I'm beat and tired and sick. But me and Tony, you know, we worked all Saturday putting his back together. I got to put all my nine wire back on the car and plates, which actually worked out well. Went out there and we ran the Concy, and me and him ran together like we did 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. You know, we was right there for each other. We knew where each other was at. Like, we got back into our groove. So Saturday night was a totally different feeling. We was all pretty wound up. You know, we got a little motivation, got some good going, and they all went out and wanted to go party Saturday night, and I was dead set on winning Sunday, and I went to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I was sick too.
Right, and it doesn't help.
But, yeah, man, I told John Rutherford, or maybe it's Jordan, they got a kick out of it. I told him I was eating a Zyrtec and a Legger like Skittles, and man, I was just throwing somebody be like, you want some DayQuil? Yeah, matter of fact, I do. Let me, you know. Whatever it took at that point to get feeling better. You know, then we went out Sunday, and that's the best I've ever had a car drive, maneuver. I spent quite a bit of time over the winter changing some things to make it drive better, and it paid off well, because I could really put that car anywhere I wanted to, and that's a big advantage whenever you're running solid suspension. A lot of times, especially, you know, the mini cars, especially at Bash, because that track, people just don't understand how unbelievably hard and tacky that track can get. Mm-hmm. Well, there's been some years that will physically bog the motors down, dumping the clutches.
Mm-hmm.
So for that car to drive and move like it did whenever we were out there, man, it felt good. And we all knew we needed to stick together and hang tight and, you know, watch out for each other. Like I said, them front-wheel drives, whenever they hit, man, they just, between the weight and the torque and everything's right over top of the front wheels, whenever they hit, like, it throw you out of your seat. It's, you know, especially from the boys from Iowa, I had them right. Front ends were right. The engines were right. They, impressive, really.
I was in that group. In that first group, the Iowa guys that he's talking about was Scott Mulder, Kevin Ullman, and I think it was the other Mulder car. We're all in there together.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, Jared Ryan and Nate Middendorf were also in there. So, I mean, you're looking right off the bat. That's a group of five drivers that have run head-to-head at Blizzard Bash a bunch of times, and I'm pretty confident that when you go out, if you're taking five to qualify, some simple math says that those are the guys that are going to probably work together. So, yeah, I mean, certainly it was no easy path, and Tony had a lot of work to do on his car. Tony Kelly was in the orange number three, and that's the other gentleman that Chris Stiepro was just mentioning there as he was talking about his win. Now, you started to go into your heat one more time there?
The feature or the heat?
The feature, rather.
Sorry about that. I got to rambling.
That's okay.
Feature, everybody was filling each other out, started off slow. Honestly, we walked the track that time before the feature. We walked all the cars, I guess, the lineup.
Sure.
And, man, every car there was a contender. Like, we thought it was cool because, you know, it's not too often the mini car guys show up and every single car in the feature is a winnable car. Mm-hmm. And this year was legit. So we thought that was neat, but we knew we had our work cut out, and we knew we had to hit. You know, this wasn't going to be the show that was going to be the guy that backed the most was going to win. Because the front wheel drives, I mean, getting caught sitting at Bash feature is not where you want to be. But Tony got shuffled away from us, and he got down in the corner, and I looked up, and they had Tony up against the wall, just the Iowa boys just wearing him out. So that's about when the battle started, and then we all it was just one after another. Once I set my sights on one guy, that was the guy I was on until I took him out. And once I took him out, I went to the next guy on the list, you know, in my mind of on the track, who was the guy to beat. And, man, really, it got down to about four, and I looked around, and that's about four or five. That's when I realized, I was like, if I can keep this thing together, this is mine. And then it got down to three. Man, it was over. I mean, just like that. I think Jordan broke something in the transmission. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Miller was riding around on three wheels. He was having a heck of a time, which I thought to him for driving that down to second place on three wheels. That's pretty cool.
Yep.
But, I mean, it was just over. So, I went from seek and destroy, find them, take them out, to, it's over.
Just like that.
Yeah, it was a very aggressive feature. It was, you know, I commented, you know, when I was watching, they were, Chris Ullman was just driving with the nose of that car. I mean, he was hitting them pacers in the AMC cars wide open in the back and bending them. It was it was impressive to see. I was watching that, and I'm like, man, I wish more guys in other classes from the Midwest would see that, you know, I hope they saw these guys, you know, their success and come out. I mean, it's only going to make the sport grow more. But it was, I mean, there was the talent pool that was in that feature was impressive. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you'd be hard pressed to find a compact feature anywhere that had more talent in it.
It was pretty even in terms of front wheel drive, rear wheel drive.
Yeah.
In the main, and really with the way that the front wheel drives were holding up and how some of the backs of the AMCs were starting to go away. And also some of the vulnerabilities in the steering of those. There was a lot of conversation inside the trailer and in some of our circles that this might be the year of the front wheel drive. And then you know, things stabilized and it was a bunch of rear wheel drive stuff that was prevalent at the end, but still.
But here's the thing too, is I mean, this is the first time those guys have came out here with those front wheel drives built. So I mean they do a little work. Well, Nate's been here before, but I don't think the other two have been out here before, have they?
They ran last year.
I believe the 77 was there last year. Yeah, I believe he ran it down. He was like top 10 or better. He might have been top 5 last year.
I
think those guys were here. It's not like they've got. I mean, Chris Depo on the phone. He's got a 7-year history and finally got the monkey off his back getting the win. It's not like they've been running here that long.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying. I mean, you know, I'm sure they'll learn, and when they come back, they'll be even tougher.
Well, when they figure out for this November.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. But I mean,
Go ahead, sorry.
No, you're fine. Go ahead, Doc.
The overall mini car builds since 4 years ago, each guy, every time they come back, like, they're better.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's not been, and that's really impressive, and that's really good to see. You know, you see guys that were showing up the first year that was running stock ads. Also, next year they're back with Mosers, and then you know, then the protectors are just the engine protectors have gotten clean out of hand. But every driver, I mean, has really stepped their game up every year, and I think it's really neat to smash it. Lets the minis have that opportunity, you know, because there's not many play. I will not build the caliber car that I just did for less than $10,000. No. I mean, I'm not going to spend that many months. You know, every little thing was perfectly checked over. It's not worth my time. Sure. But smash it really, you know, it really makes it worthwhile.
Yeah, definitely.
So why was this going to be the last one?
It's just like Tony Kelly right now, he's at the hospital with his newborn baby. They just had the baby last night, the night before, 2 nights ago, I believe. Yeah. My daughters are 2 and 5. PJ's kids are 5 and 3, I believe. And we're all just, everybody's just getting the time. Man, the time is just, we don't have it. And it would, you know, if we go run like a Top Dog, which is local here, or a Young and Reckless for Sean, if we build a car and we don't make it to the date we're trying to make it, man, there's 10 or 15 more shows that it's like, all right, you know. But whereas in our area, when we build Bash cars, if we don't make Bash, we're up the creek.
Right.
Actually, PJ's Pacer, number 19, Logston, that he ran this year, but him and I believe it was Omen, he was 3X, wasn't he?
3K, yeah.
3K, them two went at it in a feature. Like, you go back and watch the video, probably over half the feature, them two squared off with each other. Like, they didn't, that was it, just them two. But his car started to go, he started on his car to run Bash last year.
Wow.
And realized he ran out of time and just pushed it back out of the garage because we don't have nothing else to do with him. And then, you know, he wanted to sell it and get rid of it. And I pulled Tony. You know, Tony got to run his car again from last year to this year. And PJ had that one about a quarter of the way in. And I really pulled hard on them both. You know, scoop on it, scoop on it. It'll be the last time, guys. I promise. We won't do it again. And I honestly tell you, I don't know if it is the last time or not. It, you know, when you win $10,000 like that, it kind of makes you stop and think, maybe that was worth it.
Right. Well, I mean, the champ's got to come back and defend the title. I mean, you know, if you don't win it again next year, then you could walk away. But I mean, the champ has always got to come back and defend his title.
I mean, that's what I'm going to pitch to the wife. So we'll see.
Get the roof on first.
Yeah. Take care of a big honey-do list.
Yeah.
Get the roof on first, and then pitch it. Whatever's left over, you can. Well, just run Tony's car. Just talk him into letting you run that.
Nah, you know, with the shape he's in, with that new baby, Tony probably won't see the garage for a little bit.
You could Band-Aid his together and get one more year out of it. You'll be fine.
Now we
that would be something more. That poor car, man, the back of that car just took a beating. He actually, the back and the sides, it's really impressive to see these cars. What we put them through up there is nothing like what a fair show around here is. You know, we got the 2x6 door bars, and then Tony had 3x3 front bar, and the front bar bent on the inside and inside of the gusset. I mean, not from the gusset from the door, but on the passenger side, the gusset going towards the driver's side, the front bar's bent. That's how hard we're getting hit out there.
Yeah, that's, and we've touched on that before. I mean, that's, you know, these cars are so tough. People don't realize how you know, the amount of time and energy and
using them as the engineers never intended.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, Chris, I mean, you mentioned you've been working on the honey-do list, and you know, most of that 10 grand spent already. But you know, before you go to bed at night, when you know the house is quiet and it's dark, do you ever just walk by your championship trophy from Bash for Cash and just look at that thing and smile?
Man, I left the trophy here for a few days. Whenever I win anything big like that, I always take it to my sponsors and just let it set. You know, it gives them something to talk about with the customers. And, yep. You know, Trusty Tires and Denny's Carpet, they've backed me all my career. I mean, they're just, they're local businesses here that have known us through the family. So before I took it to them, it sat in the kitchen. And yeah, man, I ain't gonna lie. Every time I walked in the kitchen, I just smiled real big, you know, like a little kid.
That's something huge. I mean, that's right. Like a major goal. I mean, you know, it's, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, we've talked about it, and you talk with drivers, and you know, it doesn't really matter how big the paycheck is, because that's going to get spent. You're not going to save. You're not just going to set 10 grand aside and, you know, leave it there. But you walk by that trophy, and that trophy is always going to be there. Right. And you know, I mean, and guys that are successful, I mean, you know, it's, you know, you see a picture, a lot of guys have their garages are full of trophies, and you know, we've heard guys throwing trophies away. And but you also know that, you know, a lot of the successful guys have their, you know, most important trophies in the house. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's just one of those things. I mean, that's a trophy that's going to sit in the house, and you walk by and 10 years from now, and you know, when your kids are playing softball and volleyball, and you don't have time to do it anymore, you just kind of walk by and smile at that trophy and be like, yeah, it's, you know, that was a major accomplishment.
Jerry Harmon told me once that Josh Decker throws most of his trophies away because he gets tired of looking at second place. I thought that was really mean of Jerry to say. I thought that was harsh.
Wow.
You know?
Wow. True that.
Chris, that was the first check I won. And those checks are kind of cool.
They are cool, aren't they?
I think it's a great idea. There's Sean McCollum. He's a local promoter around here. He does a lot of checks. And, you know, whenever he posts something, you'll see quite a few guys comment, you know, you don't have a big check? Oh, I ain't never won a big check, you know. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really care until I actually looked at the picture that we took from, you know, after the win. And being able to see the check, like, explains everything about the picture. Yep. And I was like, that is kind of cool, you know. Mm-hmm. The trophy's, you know, it's 6-foot-tall trophy, which is very cool. But it doesn't really, you know, show the $10,000 win, Bash for Cash, you know, until you get up on it.
Yeah, those big checks are pretty cool looking, yep, too. We got some of those in our shop from racing there.
I think we should just make some. $1 million.
Whatever. Chris Marcourt. $1 million. I'm all right,
You mentioned Denny's Carpet, and I didn't catch the tire company, but I've seen it a ton of times on the car. I can't remember it.
Trusty's tire.
Those guys have been backing you for a long time. Is there anybody else that you wanted to make mention of, aside of the family at home and Tony and PJ, that helped make it possible to come and do what you've done for the last 7 years and finally cap it with a win, at least up to this point? Maybe we will see you next year.
Man, I mean, I got a shout out to my pop. If it wasn't for him, I probably wouldn't be derbying. I mean, I grew up, he did it for 33-something years. That's all I knew growing up. You know, I build out at the garage with Lloyd and Jordan Kirkham. Mm-hmm. They've always got my back. I've always got theirs. You know, we kind of do our own little thing. They're doing the big car, big wins, and I'm still in the minis, and I've not really wanted to spend the money to go up, but mainly the family, you know, my wife, Kayla, my two daughters, and, you know, Tony, PJ. We had PJ's little brother. He ran up there with this year, Andrew. He was a big help in the pits. Robbie Vest, he was in the pits with me. Robbie Vest was just as much as a help in the pits as he was like a spiritual motivator. You know, he kept going around giving everybody the big hoorah, you know.
That's awesome.
So he played his part.
Right.
But, you know, we got a pretty solid crew. We got some real good friends around here, and you know, we all back each other 100%.
That's awesome. Where are you going to run next?
I have no idea.
No need to rush it.
I really want to run White Pine in December, just because right. It's indoor, sure. And the track is like a soapy, slick mixture.
Mm-hmm.
It's not muddy, and I just think that's a neat track.
Yep.
So
well,
and that's a reasonable build. So I might put my sights on that.
That'd be cool. Give you a nice opportunity to enjoy the summer and some downtime with the family, and then regroup in time for White Pine coming up in December. That'd be all right.
Oh, if I'm going to White Pine, I'll probably have to start on the car here pretty soon at the amount of hours I get in the garage nowadays.
Well, in any case, man, be safe, and good luck with the builds. Good luck with the lawn, and once again, for sure, congratulations on the win. We appreciate you coming on and hang out with us for a little while. Like, we got to jump over, shift gears to Jeremy Gully. But if you do end up starting on that White Pine car, we'll talk a little bit more about that as White Pine gets closer.
All right, Chris, I appreciate you, man. Really appreciate all you guys do. Really like the podcast, like the commentary that you do on the pay per views. Very cool.
We try, Chris.
Thanks.
It means a lot. Thank you.
Very cool. All right, you guys. You all have a good night.
Thanks
you
a too. Lot, Chris. We'll see you soon.
All right, bye.
My first interactions with Chris Steepro was when he was in Sturgis, Kentucky. We went out there for that show a million years ago. Somebody stepped on the wire and unplugged the internet. You remember that story?
Mm-hmm.
It happened to me. I remember that. That was...
We've had some stuff happen over the years.
I slept in a camper.
And with no heat.
It was the first time I ever survived hypothermia. It was cool. I was assuming I would die. Hey, Jeremy, let me put you
in. Oh,
I remember I took a wax crayon and wrote on the wall a message to my family in case they ever found me. That way,
that frozen way solid?
That way they knew for sure. It's like, convey these wishes. Thaw me.
Just like you're climbing Everest.
It's not good, man. A lot of people died on that. It would have just been one in a camper. Wouldn't have been. Steve Buckner at the bottom. I think it was mildly warmer at the top where I was staying. It was rough.
Heat rises.
It was bad. Jeremy Gully joining us on the phone. Jeffy's Fab Farm Mini Meltdown is being hosted this Saturday in Morris, New York. Outstanding show. Again, they are getting ready for the heat draws. Jeremy, man, how are you? How's everything going?
Oh, not too bad. Getting ready to do the heat draws in about 30 minutes or so.
I know we're running a little bit behind, but we got in a riff there with Chris, and we're gonna cut him off. It was such a cool story that he won the compact side at Bash for Cash, and now you guys are turning up the wick on the biggest compact show easily in New York State, and doing the draws tonight. You've got trucks that are coming on deck. How's everything come together for this year?
It's going, Chris. I mean, it's like anything else. It's we basically take about a week or two off from last year and then start planning the next year. You know, it's everything's coming to a head now, and it'll be another good show, man.
In terms of going from last year to this year, what was the biggest thing that stood out to you in terms of making improvements and putting the show together and making life easier for yourselves as event hosts?
Well, we've done some behind the scenes stuff that's made a lot of things a lot easier. Registration has kind of been streamlined. I used to have to sit at my computer and copy and paste every single name, and we've been able to find an app to do all that. So that took me about 2 hours instead of 16 or 18. Got that done. Of course, we've worked on some stuff on the safety side of the house with some air horn setups and try to get rid of the handheld air horns. And these are about 160 decibels a piece.
Wow.
There's four of them. So, yeah, Josh Buell thought it'd be funny to point them towards the trailer and turn them on while my back was turned. And I still can't hear out of my left ear, but...
Jesus.
Jeepers. Man, that's crazy.
That's pretty loud.
Yeah.
But we're loading it. We're getting the apparel trailer all loaded up now. We're over here at Decker's house getting ready to do the draws and getting the trailer loaded up. I took my first load up to Morris today, and I got two more to go. And then...
And that's a nice charge.
We're as ready as we can be, you know?
That's a nice short drive. What is that, about a 2.5-hour drive from your house to Morris?
I think I'm on, when I pulled into Decker's driveway, I think it was at like mile number 205 today, and I still got to drive home.
Yikes.
So,
that's a long day. See, the weather's supposed to be pretty good. That's always a bonus.
Yeah, I asked Lisa, who is the fair board manager up there, the county fair manager, I asked her if she could put in for 65, slightly cloudy and no rain, and she said she'd see what she could do, but I think it's going to be somewhere closer to 80, and the sun's going to be shining, so it's going to be a good day.
We're all going to look like lobsters at the end of the day. That's all right, though.
Probably. Well,
James Brown's going to be taking...
I think we got 82 pre-registered cars, mm-hmm. which we'll draw them tonight, the heats on them, and then the ones that are not pre-registered, we're going to kind of play that by ear and see what shows up and push them to heat number 6-7.
Right.
And we got 20 economy V8s. I'm fairly confident in talking to the guys, trying to make sure that we got a full class, and I'm fairly confident that the drivers are all coming. And we've got a lot of room in the compact truck and the full-size truck class, but those guys just kind of seem to be, they just kind of show up.
Yeah.
Don't really register much, so... we are going to cap both those classes at 20. So, if you want to be in, we are going to open, you know, get there early. Gates will open at 6. Inspection will close at 11 on Saturday. Showtime will kick off power wheels at noon.
Yep.
We are going to open the gates Friday night for anybody who wants to come down and get their car done and registered Friday night. We're going to open about 4 o'clock. And we'll inspect until we can't see anymore, probably around 9. We do have a few things to as incentives to let those drivers come through on Friday and get some of the headache out of the way. We will have security all night on the cars. They can't leave the compound once they're inside. But, I think we're as ready as we're going to be, bub.
That's awesome. Once again, Jeffy's Fab Farm. Presenting the 2019 Mini Meltdown again. The event happens June the 15th. Inspection again Friday from 5 until can't see anymore on Friday. Saturday, inspection opens at 7 a.m. It runs through 11 o'clock when inspection closes. The Derby's going to start at 12 noon. Compact side of things, paying the top 5, 4,000 to win, 2,000, 1,000 back through for third, 750, 500 for fifth. Feature appearance, 350 to start. Mad Dog, it's $1,500 bucks. Economy V8, 20 car maximum there, 1,400 to win, 300, 100 back through third. Extreme Compacts, they are sold out. There's no spots left, and they had massive, massive overfill on that. 1,500 to win there, 500, 250 back through third place. Mad Dog is to be decided. Compact trucks, 500 plus 75% of the entry. Second place, 250, 25% of the entry. Same thing for the full-size trucks. Again, compact trucks and full-size trucks capped at 20 each. If you want additional details, you can jump online, spinningwheelsproductions.com. And again, the heat draws are going to be conducted here in just about 20 minutes. They're going to be going live over at Josh's house. I was going somewhere with that. Oh, there's going to be somewhere around 15 to 17 cars in each of the first 5 heats. And so if you show up the day of the show and you want to get in, you're going to be seated in those later heats. Obviously, mm-hmm. the earlier the year heat, the more time you're going to have to piece your stuff back together. It's
not true, Chris. Not true. All cars will be impounded just as they were last year until the last comp is run. Everybody will have the exact same amount of time.
So if you don't qualify, your car goes into impound?
If you qualify...
I'm talking about cars that have to go to the consi.
Cars that go to the consi, you got lots of time. Yep, you're right. That's
yeah.
true.
Yeah, I mean, if you're that's locked into...
Didn't want anybody to...
If
yeah.
you're... if you're If you yeah, the qualifying cars go into yeah, they're all locked in. Lockdown. That's been that way for
second year.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty common thing. Pretty much wherever you go with the big shows, I'm talking about the guys that are trying to knock on the door.
The biggest thing about the pre-registered guys is they may be battling out with 16 cars, you know, or 15 cars on a heat, and if 25 cars show up that were not registered, well, your chances just got really slimmer.
Right. Yeah, you're going to have much more congested track.
More slim, I guess.
Yep. It's definitely definitely a reduction in your percentages there. 1-16 versus 1-25, right?
Yeah, no doubt. And the way those guys drive down there, that's an extra two cars is not a good thing.
An extra 10 cars out there means an extra, 6 minutes on track?
Yeah, they get after it.
Are you all set and ready to go, Brian, or what?
No, I'm still touching some things up. These spinning wheels rules, man. The guy that wrote that, I wish he would have told me, you know, ahead of time so I could add some stuff ready, but I'm close. I just gotta, I'm waiting for a carburetor and, then I'll start putting everything back together and get the bumper welded on. And we're talking all the time we're leaving Saturday morning. So everything's going to be good. I went and did some cutting last night to make sure my plates on my frame are within the limit, and gonna be fun. I had a lot of fun down there last year. It's always good to go someplace where you don't really know anybody. Of course, you know, it came down to Brett and I. Of course, I know him. You know, Mad Mike was there. We got to run with Mad Mike on the track. That was cool. It was a good time. I enjoyed everything.
Extreme compact class.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. I Jamie Eldridge Jr. and Zach Herman are running that. I told them they're both nuts to have two guys inside of a compact, but you know, and Jamie's not a small kid. He's pretty broad shouldered, but looking forward to it. We had a great time.
James Brown's making a trip down.
Is he?
Yeah.
We had a great time down there last year. It was a great show. Looking forward to it. I'd like to try to improve my finish by one. The spinning wheels crew, they added a nice chunk of change to the payout in that stock class. So, that would come in handy. Yeah. So gonna be fun. Hopefully
buy most of a Cadillac.
Yeah. I'll buy most of a Cadillac. I got to build one now for September. I got to start buying parts again. So it's just a continuous circle, but no, I'm looking forward to it. We're going to be on our way down there, and my crew chief, you know, Zach, he's like, Dad, does Jeremy have a page with his rules on it? And I said, yeah. So he's been trying to diagnose and dissect Jeremy's rules. So turn it into a little more of a family event. It's, you know, and he's like, Dad, we should take the grill and we could cook and sit under the tent. And he's all wound up. So looking forward to it. It's going to be a good time.
Very conducive to grilling.
Yeah. Going to be a good time.
We're trying to do, you know, bring a nice family fun event to so, you know, smash some cars and give back to the drivers a little bit more than your normal county fair shows would, but you can do that with a standalone event, you know, there's a little more meat on the bone there for the standalone event, so we can certainly treat the drivers the way they need to be treated, and you know, hopefully we're pushing in the right direction.
Yeah.
And
How's the rest of the season looking for you? You're ready to jump from? I mean, you got your two driving derbies out of the way, unless you pick up two or three more. And last time I talked to you, you said you were only thinking about running two shows, and now you're back to the promoter side. So how's things looking for the rest of the season for Spinning Wheels?
They're looking good, man. You know, we're really excited about this Wildville show, July 20th. We really wanted to get into the North Country. We've got several drivers north of the border to come down and support us. So we thought, you know, we're Bowville's probably a solid 2 hours, 2.5 hours further north. And we thought maybe we could pull some of those guys, you know, down to another, down to our county fair level and give them a good place to run. And, you know, a lot of the North Country boys, they come down and run for us anyways.
Yep.
So it just gives them another show where they can run their cars that they run at Mini Meltdown or excuse me, that they run it, the full size truck guys. That class has kind of taken off up there. I went out to Bash with three of the guys from up there, and I know their trucks are good, you know, for the season pretty much. You know, yeah. The way the truck rules allow you to build them, you pretty much run the trucks all year. So that's one show we're really excited about. Of course, you know, we're stepping into Chenango County, a bone stock show, a bone stock heat and feature. It's one of the first we've done. Normally, our bone stock is exclusively one and done shows. Mm-hmm. So that'll be really interesting to see how the drivers drive and can piece back their stuff to make a feature.
Yeah.
And then of course, you know, we go back to we're in Morris for two shows, which Morris is becoming pretty well known through the country as a hard hitting, wide open track. The drivers there, the locals, they're certainly not afraid of the skinny pedal.
Nope.
And then we have two shows in Holmesdale this year, capping the Wayne County Fair at the beginning and at the end. That's going to feature our Holmesdale is our two man compact show, our youth show down there, and also it's going to have our limited well division this year. We had a ton of support last year down there for that class, so we took it back down there, let those guys mix it up in the mod cars, and as soon as our season's, you know, getting ramped up, it'll be over.
Yeah.
You know, but of course, then all attention turns to San Felipe, which will be October 5th, I believe it is this year. Everything after, you know, August will turn right immediately to that, and we've already started to plan and talk and gather parts up for that. So, you know, that's always in our. That's kind of where we started, really, with San Felipe Smash, and
yep.
And I drug Josh Buell and Josh Decker along the ride, but you know, they've certainly proven to be an asset to help me keep the quality of the shows that I wanted to put on where it needs to be.
Yeah, definitely,
no question.
Definitely.
And yes, I believe I'm done running for the year. I ran Bash, I ran the RE team show, and I believe I'm done. I might drag. I got a pre-ran compact. I might drag out and take down to Brett Reed's show there in Downsville, but we'll see how ambitious I get. And I kind of, unfortunately, my run at Bash made me have to pull the truck apart. I got to take the body off that truck to get the motor out. So that's not an easy task.
And, you know what happened to the motor?
What's that?
Do you know what happened to that engine?
It didn't like, the number 8 cylinder didn't like being in the hole.
Yeah, it's cool. Cool.
That was, I told Jeremy, I've watched a lot of derbies, and that's the first one I actually saw parts come out of the stack
yeah.
on air. Yes. That was,
it exploded the number 8. I don't know why, but it really doesn't matter. I'm not the easiest person on parts, so.
No.
When stuff comes apart, I really don't question it.
Going nose to nose with another truck at 8,000 RPM might have had something to do with it.
You know, I honestly think I had a good shot at that truck show. I was really comfortable. I thought I was doing, you know, I thought I was there, but, you know, unfortunately, number 8 didn't like it. It sure. is what it is, but I got my running out of the way early so I can concentrate on my shows later, and I'm been interested maybe take a run down to Kentucky one of these winters, or maybe the Florida Southern Nationals. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
That sounds fun.
There's a lot to pick from in the off season anymore.
I'll tell you what, I was very impressed with your truck, Jeremy. That you weren't bending any out there in Ohio. That was I'd like to see that motor hold together. I think you've been right there at the end.
No, it didn't bend. That's for sure. Sheet metal obviously bent, but the frame itself didn't go nowhere, and I was impressed with it. We weren't really, I mean, let's face it, we certainly weren't burning any bridges down out there as far as speed wise. We got that really nasty rain, and the track was just soup. But you know, it would have been interesting to see if I could open it up a little bit more and let it eat and see if it bent. But
yeah, Zach. Zach found your 360 camera, and he said it wasn't as good as the, you didn't have any hits as good as the one you did at Waterloo, so you got something to aim for next year in your run again.
My wife watched it like 3 times because she kept turning it where I blew the motor and then on me because she was expecting a rant. And It just happened. I was over it.
Right. Oh, that's funny.
No, we're expecting some really nice weather for Meltdown. So, you know, if anybody's listening, I would dare say it'd be a good show to come watch. It's $10 to get in the gate, $15 if you want to go into the pits. Also, $25 covers it, soup to nuts, and you're looking at, like, you know, probably close to 10, 12 hours of smashing cars. I mean, you can't go to a movie anymore for $25. So
no,
the pits are meant for, you know, meant for pit crew. They're not necessarily meant for everybody. But that's why you can get in the grandstands, you know. So
for sure.
We're hoping to we're drawn from, I think it's 11 states in Canada.
That's awesome.
I think.
Fantastic.
So the most of the Northeast states are covered. I don't think we got anybody from like Rhode Island. But we have Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, Delaware. Hopefully, Gray Area can make it out. I'm sad to hear about his pops passing today or yesterday, but they're registered to come out. So that puts Wisconsin, and then, of course, you got the Germains out of Canada, Ricky Beckwith out of Canada. Colton Crooks is out of Canada. They're coming down. So we got quite a few, quite a diverse group of individuals running in the show.
Cool.
So that's always a good moment when you got people willing to travel. It's a proud moment on our part. You got people willing to travel 6, 7, 8 hours to run a show.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a good time.
Once again, Jeffy's Fab Farm presenting the Mini Meltdown on Saturday at the Otsego County Fairgrounds in Morris, New York. Going to be a fantastic one. Again, the compact's paying $4,000 to win, $2,000 for second, $1,000 for third. You can find the whole pay schedule online, spinningwheelsproductions.com. Inspection runs Friday until dark, and then inspection opens up again at Saturday. 7 a.m. goes through 11 o'clock. Power Wheels will kick off the show at noon. Again, online, spinningwheelsproductions.com. Jeremy, I know you got to go in about 5 minutes and start doing those draws. I will. I'll catch up with you soon. Hopefully, everything goes smooth for you, and we'll be talking to you soon.
All right, Chris. Thanks. Have a good day.
Thanks, man.
Jeremy.
Take care, Brian.
Jeremy Gully. 11 missed phone calls since we started the show.
Think it's anything important?
I'm guessing somebody's website's down. That's my guess.
I got one phone call. I could go 11, work. Probably an A shift tonight if I wanted
11,
it.
11 missed phone calls and four voicemails. What could possibly go wrong, right?
I can't wait to see what Dan wants to trade his truck for. I'm going to start off with four Camrys and aluminum.
I don't think he has anything left. I don't think he's got any of that stuff. I think it's all gone.
Really?
Yep. I think so, anyway. Running late. Hey, hang on. Dan is in the holster. Dan, what's going on? How are you?
Happening, Chris.
There we go. Well, we're just wanting to know how strong that truck is going to be. I know you're going to let it off its leash this weekend. You were showing me some pictures about... just teach me a little bit about programming and MSD chips and stuff. It was really cool. I enjoyed the quick conversation that we had before we got into the show. I mean, how much power are we talking about putting to the ground? And are you worried about bending stuff or just shoving stuff out of the park?
All new setup, buddy. Don't really know what to expect. So I didn't do any internals on this motor like the 440 because it's the first time running it. And I was, you know, I don't know if I'm going to like it. So I kept the stock. Except for the alcohol carb, I'm running alcohol on it. I thought that'd be a good idea to do with the aluminum heads, whatnot. So got a really, really good carburetor on there from Jason Cope, and I got a pretty good drive line. So I'm feeling pretty good.
The rubber marks out in front of the house looked cool.
Yeah, I spent all day yesterday out there fine tuning this thing, so to where I want, where I liked it. Probably took me 4 or 5 hours, bunch of passes and some timing, and it's. It's good to go, I think. Just got to put to the track and see how it's going to take it.
What do you do to shore up the front end? Last time you had an exotic build like this, you ran into some trouble with the front end components. What did you do different to make sure that that wasn't an issue?
Well, it's a totally different truck than the the newer Dodges I was running, I had an independent front suspension. This has a, this is an old one, 67. They come with a solid front axle, front leafs, and it's a kingpin front end. So they're pretty badass, man. If I break something on that, that's going to be impressive.
Tell everybody if you break something on that.
Now, the question is do you want four Luminas and two Camrys for it, or is it four Camrys and two Luminas? I mean, what are we looking to trade for? We got to get this done quick.
Well, it looks like there's probably about six of those little cars into this one big truck, so...
So you're right on the
right on the money. Just tell me what it is, man. I'll just show up, drop stuff off. We'll take the truck home, call it good.
I'll tell you what, man. First time in my Derby career, I got this thing finished up. Man, I started on this thing back in February. I don't know how many people know this, but I started it on my birthday, 1st of February, and I just finished it June. And
never had it for sale once.
True.
What's that? What's
I said, this is. I know the statistic that you're leading into. He started it in February and just finished it in June and never had it for sale once.
Very true.
It's impressive.
No, I got so much heart and soul in this one. I told my wife, I said, you know what? I said, I don't think I could wreck this thing. This thing is a piece of art to me. You know what I mean? Like, I spent so much time on this truck. Like, I crossed every T and dotted every I to the best of my abilities, triple checked everything from all the mistakes that I made in the past. So, I mean, it's the best build I've built in 25 years.
Now, the question is how many tanks of acetylene do you have to bring to get it to pass inspection?
Oh, no.
Well, you never know there. And that's the thing, like, nobody's seen a truck like this around here, so nobody even knows what they're looking at. So
I don't know.
Go ahead.
That guy that's the head of that spinning wheels, he's done some pretty exotic builds. He might have an idea or two about that truck.
Yeah, old Gully, him and I used to build together. I know exactly what he's up to.
Now, are you running, any of your buddies running with you, or are you running solo?
Dude, I've always been a solo operation, man, forever. Yeah.
I was going to touch on it. I mean, when you run with friends, they're the first ones you hit full track. So I just, I wanted to know who to keep a look on as you're coming full track to see who you're going to hit first thing.
Oh, dude, I don't know how it's going to shake out. I might have 15 against me, you know what I mean? But I welcome that challenge.
Listen.
I'm pretty confident with what I got.
I'm going to give you some advice, okay? This is my advice to you, okay?
No.
If Mike Klinger's there, I'd leave on about three and drive him wide open, and then just be on from there. What do you think?
Well, that's funny you bring up Mike Klinger, because he's the one that went and picked this truck up for me.
That's awesome. No, I like Mike. Mike's a really good dude. I've got to know him through talking to him and Tiffany at the Derbies, and I'm hoping he's there, because when he runs a truck, it's always a show. He's the man to beat when he shows up to run.
Yeah, I got to meet him. He actually, I don't know how many people know this, but the truck that Gully took to the Bash, that was mine too. I traded Gully that cab and that bed for this Hemi and a tranny. So he ended up picking that cab. Well, I actually had the whole truck, but the bed was rusty. But he picked that one up down in Texas for me last year as a 60 Dodge. So he brought two trucks back to New York, He took them down to PA, and I ended up having to go down to his place and pick them up. But yeah, I go on great with Mike. I think Mike's a great guy. He's one hell of a driver. He's fun to watch.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is.
For sure. Gravedigger.
And he drives all over America, literally, to pick up Derby stuff. I mean, they go to Phoenix and Colorado and crazy. Yeah, they're definitely. Mike pulls in, and you know who you got to beat if you plan on winning.
This truck itself, not so much where it came from, but the build influence that's in it. You know, you're pretty good friends with Paul Cox. Would you say that this has a lot of that Western influence into the way that it's put together?
Absolutely. You know, Paul and I still talk two, maybe three times a week. You know, we'll be friends for life. And he's excited, man. He's like, man, I wish I was out there to watch you run that. He says, because I honestly don't think you could bend that truck. There's not enough track length out here to bend this truck.
That's quite the challenge.
Yeah.
Now,
do it.
So, now the Hemi it's quite a bit bigger motor than most other Dodges. How did you run into any room issues? Anything when you were installing it that you were like, damn, I didn't think of that? Or how'd the motor install go?
The motor install was was a real pain, man. It took me 10 hours to put it in.
I believe it. Because that's...
And I ended up having to cut my cross member out to get it in. Then I ended up welding my cross member back in to get it in. And let me tell you, if something happens to this, Gully's is hard enough getting his motor out. I don't know what I'm going to do with this.
Yeah, that's a lot of people don't realize how much bigger a Hemi motor is than a normal Chrysler motor. I mean, they're a big, wide engine, big heads, big everything. So I wondered.
The width of it, Brian, wasn't the problem. Is that I made my own cradle for this front plate, mid plate, and my mid plate hangs down in a square. You know how the mid plates are that bolt to the back of the motor. Well, the problem being is I had it up. I couldn't get that mid plate to clear the cross member to get it to drop down in.
Gotcha.
So I had to do some trimming here or there, and then once I got it in there, it's locked and loaded, man. It ain't going nowhere. I mean, I dread if I have to take it back out to fix something.
What do you have for gears in the rear end?
It's the same setup I've been running for the last 4 or 5 years. The same I ran in the Imperial, same I ran in Paul's truck, my truck. It's a 513 Dana 80. But I did switch over to the Turbo 400 so I could run the bracing. I got a steel bell. I got a wraparound brace, pan protector, the whole nine yards.
Now, do you have a rev limiter, or is it you just going to let it eat?
No, I set the rev limiter in there. I'm not getting carried away. I don't think you need all that horsepower, to be honest with you.
But it sounds good.
I want something that's going to run good, it's going to last, hopefully, and so I got to set it like 6,200.
That's not bad.
No, I don't know. Like I say, it's all new, you know? I've never, other than out here testing it and tuning it out here, you know, I don't know. But that alcohol, I'm hoping that alcohol's the ticket.
Yeah. Yeah, it's you know, the guys that have it down good, I mean, it seems to really make a difference. It's just, you know, it's I think it's a little tricky getting it figured out. But if you get it down good, it's definitely a bonus.
Definitely temperamental, I can tell you that, boy. She's got her mind of her own, that alcohol.
Yeah. How big a fuel cell are you running?
I got 12 gallon.
So I know that's
you're going to need a bigger box.
I know that's an issue that guys run into with this, is the alcohol, is they use a lot more of it. But
yeah, it's so big that I had to reconstruct my gas tank protector in the back of the truck. I had it all built, and I got it from Ryan Ostrander, Catskill there, and he told me the dimensions, but his dimensions weren't from the mounting flanges. It was the actual, just the tank. So then I had to reconstruct the whole back half just to fit it in there. It's huge.
That's awesome. It'll be fun.
But yeah, I'm looking forward. This is going to be awesome, man. This truck, I think, you know, there's a lot of pros and cons to this and the newer style ones, and I think with the solid front axle, that's, you know.
Yeah.
Keep that from breaking. Remember, I was breaking those aluminum A-arms all the time.
Yep.
Spindle on the newer Dodge. This is not like this. Totally different. So,
the year we all went to Caledonia and ran, and you guys all ran the truck, was that a Ford or was that a Dodge you took there?
That was the first newer Dodge I built. That was one of them hydroform frames. That was an 07 Ram.
Yep, okay. And that's what happened to that, right, is you broke an A-frame.
Well, yeah. Well, that run there, Decker broke my rear axle.
That's right.
And shortly thereafter, it was starting to break. Those aluminum spindles are just garbage on them things. And I said, then I built that one for Paul, and I didn't feel like spending $1,000 for the steel spindles. And then I was like, you know what? I'm done with these trucks. I'm done with it. I'm going old school. So.
Yep. Well, that's the thing. I mean, you go out west, and that's what guys are building because they're so readily available. You know, it's just around here. Around here, we don't have that selection of old stuff. It's all rotted or been crushed already. So, but do you?
I had to do some serious homework to find this truck. You know, I dug and dug and dug and finally found a guy in Alabama that had a bunch of them. And Mike was fortunate enough to go down and get it for me. So, I mean, that's where this one came from. And it wasn't. There's one sitting here, just like literally next town over from me. Same exact thing, but you don't want to part with it. So. You have to go 10 states away.
It's funny. You guys run those old Dodges like that, and, you know, Gully ran his. My dad had a 69 or 70 Dodge D100, and it was our first tow vehicle to the races. Two-wheel drive.
And I love that body style. I was telling Chris earlier when I was messaging him, I'm going to fix one up. I'm going to go to like a 65 100.
Yep.
I think those things are – trick, man. And it's, put the 20s on it.
It's funny because around the same time that we were towing with his truck, my brother got his license. Well, he kept when we built the race car, we bought a Dodge Challenger, had a 440 in it. Well, this was also our farm truck and lost the transmission in it somehow. So Dad put the 440 motor and tranny in this Dodge D100 and continued towing with it. Well, then all of a sudden, my brother and his buddy would take it every weekend and they'd bring it back and there'd be a hole in the radiator. Well, come to find out, they were going over a couple towns over and racing kids with all their hot rods because because this truck was so old. And, you know, I mean, it was, you know, it was a 69 or 70. This was the mid 80s. And you'd put it in drive and stand on it, and the frame would flex so much, it wouldn't spin the tires. It would all hook up about full of wheelie. But when it did it, it would rock far enough to where the fan would hit the radiator.
Right.
So they went over there. They were kicking everybody's ass with this truck, this old farm truck. It was the coolest thing around. But them Dodges, man, I'm telling you, they're tough for everything they do.
Yeah. And you know me, I'm all Mopar. You know, same thing with LS, is everybody's jumping on the LS bandwagon, and they're awesome. But for me to upgrade, I had to go Hemi, man. That's just the way I am.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I was, whenever I see Jeffy, you know, I always bust on him about his LSs, and Jeffy does. He's got a hell of a deal worked out with those LSs. I mean, you can't argue with the results and how good those things run, and, you know, everybody that's,
they run awesome.
And, you know, everybody's had success with them. But I keep telling him, man, you got to do this for a Magnum for me. I think it'd be cool to have a Magnum to be able to run it, you know, with the, like a setup that he's got with his LSs, where he could dial them in and all that stuff. I think that would be nasty. But, you know, Jeffy's he's kind of a Chevy guy, so he's been working on that. But maybe someday it'll come about, and you and I can try out a Magnum like that. That'd be a good time.
You know, that's the problem, Brian, for a Mopar guy in the derby world. It's really a dying breed. It's kind of disheartening because there's no love for us Mopar guys out there whatsoever, man. Yeah. There's nothing available, and it's like, you know what? You got to think for yourself. You got to engineer your stuff yourself. Yeah. It sucks. It really does, and it's all geared towards GM. It always has been and always will be. But,
yeah. And it's funny because, you know, a lot of guys run these, you know, they run the Magnums and they'll buy the GM ignition for it and this and that. And I run my Magnum and I run it on the old school electronic ignition off like a 70s, you know, Mopar.
Yep.
And that thing.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, I did this. I taught myself how to do all this. You know, I mean, I don't think it's that hard. You know, they make all the stuff out there. You know, you get the intake, bolt the intake on there, get a good carb set up.
Yep.
You got to get the box to fire the coils. I mean, it's really not that hard.
Yeah.
The hardest part for me was finding somebody to make me a set of stacks, and Jeremy Elliott came through, man, just like he always does.
That's cool. Very cool. Yeah, I didn't even think about the fact that there's no stacks out there for a Hemi. That's true.
There's nothing.
You may be a trendsetter, man. You may make so much noise and run so awesome this weekend. You know, it may be Dano's Hemis for sale.
Yeah, no, we ain't gonna do that. But maybe it will help out the Mopar guys, because these motors are all over the place. You know, they're not like they're hard to find.
No, you can get right out of that heavy equipment operation, get right to building Mopar Hemis and sell them all over the country.
No, we're not going to do that, Brian. But it'll be fun for sure.
This is the last truck you plan on building, right? This is it. This is the final hurrah. As long as this truck lasts, you'll be in demolition derby. But you got 25 years in, and after this, it's over.
That's what I told my wife the other night. Well, I'm even just going to kind of just fly low under the radar, and when this thing's done, I'm done. I figure I can get 2-3 years out of this truck.
2027,
whatnot.
Dan on retirement party, 2027.
That'd be awesome. That'd be a good time. Looking forward to it. I can't wait to watch you run it Saturday, Dano.
Well, you know, it's awesome. It's a hometown track, man, 15 minutes down the road. It's amazing to see how Derby has developed at that place, man, because when I was like 18 years old, it was like, you know how it was back then. And it's just pretty cool to see the local track. You know, a national level show, really. You know,
no, absolutely. Two of them. I mean, when you get right down to it, I mean, you know, Mini Meltdown and San Filippo are both, you know, People have heard about them from here to California, so that's really cool what Jeremy and the guys from Spinning Wheels have done.
You know, all my buddies I used to derby with, man, they've been retired for years. I'm like the last of the Mohegans, man. They just like, man, you're still going. I'm like, yeah, man. It's the love for the sport is right as strong as it's always been. But you know what, man? Getting older, Brian, and it's starting to get to be a lot of work.
Oh yeah. And that's the thing is, we were, you know, I've talked to different guys, and you know, I'm blessed because now, you know, my oldest son is, you know, he's 16 and he really gets involved, and you know. My dad is 81, and so, you know, every day in the garage with him is a bonus. So it's nice to be in the garage, you know, working with those two guys. And but it's a lot of work, and you know, it's always been fun to be on the, you know, on the track. That's the fun part, but there's a lot of time building. So I don't know. It's, you know, I could see it coming to an end, but I don't know. I've said before, well, you know, what's kind of holding me back now is, I mean, my oldest is looking for a football scholarship. So we just went to a camp last week, and you know, starting to get into that stuff. So it's getting harder to put the time into the proper time to build cars. You know what I mean? Even though I only run once or twice a year, you know, to do it right, you got to put time and energy into it. And you know, I'm definitely not going to take away from my kids. So. It's just
that's the thing. Yeah, you know, like for me, I knew how long it was going to take to do this. You know, I knew it was going to take me a long time. So when I was off this winter, I tried to hammer on this thing as much as I could, because when I went back to work, it's like you, I don't want to neglect family time. Family time to me is the most important thing. You don't get it back, you know. So I tried to get this thing done, and then I didn't get it done. Then we're right into Memorial Day weekend again, just like always, 3-day weekend, just slaving away, man. And it's like.
Yep.
But I got it. I won. I finally got it, and she's ready to rock, man. And I'm pretty pumped. I can't wait to send it.
Yeah, it's going to be a good show Saturday.
Sure is. Mini Meltdown presented by Jeffy's Fab Farm, scheduled for Saturday. Kicks off at noon. Inspection going to be running from 7 a.m. until 11, and then inspection shuts down. The class that Dan's going to be running that truck in is capped at 20 entries, so make sure you get there early and get through. The first 20 will be accepted. They didn't have a whole lot in terms of pre-entry, so there is a little bit of space left. If you're looking for additional details, again, jump online, spinningwheelsproductions.com, and also pre-tech inspection and early inspection, I guess is a better way to say it. It starts at 5 o'clock on Friday and runs until dark. Daniel, is there anybody that you wanted to make mention of that helped you on this one? I know Paul Cox had his hands in it, and you talked about Mike Klinger, but you got some guys locally that helped get you there too.
I got also think a couple sponsors quick. My main sponsor, Ruster Gridge Winery, Rick Bennett, you've met him, great to me, man. I got Williams Tire and Auto Service on board this year, local tire guy, paid for my front tires. I have my cousin's body shop, they're on board. My dad, for all the small things that he does, Travis Cooley, a friend of mine who comes down once in a while and gives me a hand, and I just appreciate everything. I'm pretty much a lone builder, but there are some guys that do chip in here or there, and it means a lot. So hopefully I can put on a good show for them.
Awesome, and of course the tank comes from Catskill Fabrication. Dano, good luck this weekend. I know it's going to be a fun one for you. Enjoy that ride, and I'm sure you'll have plenty of truck left, so we'll see you running again throughout the course of the year.
Yeah, I plan to hit every one of Gully shows. That's what my schedule is, and I just want to say, Chris, man, I love what you do, buddy. You know how I feel about you guys, and if it wasn't for you, man, I probably would have been out of this game a long time ago. So just keep digging, buddy, and thanks for everything that you do for us.
We'll keep swinging.
All right.
Appreciate it, Dan. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care, you guys. Take care, Brian.
Thanks a lot. See ya.
Goodbye.
And just to touch on something that Jeremy Gully had hit on a little bit ago, it was Ralph Legis that had passed away. Ralph and RJ, both still carrying the torch for Gray Area, but the original Ralph Salvage Yard, which was opened back in 1987, Ralph, who passed away, 60 years old, unfortunate.
That's young.
It's, yeah. Tough. I don't have a lot of details there. And then this weekend also we had the T-Bone. I couldn't come up with any results on that one.
I
had a lot of people thanking a lot of people. They had pictures of like airbrush stuff, but I don't know who won.
I think Gage Sumner.
It's a safe bet.
I think it came down to him and I can't remember. I was just reading it and I was going to screenshot it and send it to you and I forgot. Yeah, because that wasn't team show, right?
Yeah, it was a T-Bone Memorial team show this weekend.
Yeah, that was. I think Age won it.
Could be.
We'll have to find out.
We'll dig some back. More. We'll follow up on some mini meltdown action coming up next Monday. We got all sorts of stuff planned. It's the busy month of June, which is going to lead to a busy month of July, and plenty of derby action to come. So make sure you get out and check out Spinning Wheels Productions. They are live right now. They went about 7 o'clock, so they're doing those heat draws. And if anybody needs us, we're going to be right back here in the North Park Building at Academy Square here in downtown Seneca Falls. We'll see everybody again right back here next week.
Crash Course Live is presented by
Smash It Demolition Derby, who hosts Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage. Online at smashitderby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, host of May Mania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah. Online at stirringdirtracing.com.
Reckless Abandon Derby Apparel and Derby Inc. Magazine.
This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FigureLinks1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York.